God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Greetings to you, the listener. This is Pastor Larry from Southwest Radio Church. Indeed, God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. In Romans chapter 1, the scripture gives a catalog of sins. Certain sins are more scandalous than others, and they are therefore more frequently mentioned. There is one very serious sin, but it is often overlooked. In verse 21 we read, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." Notice those last three words, "neither were thankful." The Puritans were correct when they said, "Ingratitude is a root sin." Indeed, ingratitude is the sin from which many other sins grow. A few months ago, New York Governor Cuomo was taking credit for the fact that the reported number of COVID-19 cases were down. He was right proud of himself. He said the number is down because we brought the numbers down. God did not do that. Faith did not do that. Close quotes. Unfortunately, there is a lot of ingratitude in our country. Today and every day, let us remember the words of James 1, verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." We're back with Dr. Carl Baugh. We've had him on two previous shows, and we've got some more things to talk about. First of all, we do have an offer. It's a book, a marvelously done book, beautiful pictures. It's titled Pearls in Paradise, and Dr. Baugh is going to speak to us about that. Dr. Baugh, thank you so much for being with us. I know this is a beautiful volume that will certainly help individuals and families believe that the Bible is thoroughly reliable and that the theory of evolution is nothing but a bad theory. So welcome once again and tell us about Pearls in Paradise.
Well, Larry, it is always a pleasure to be on with Southwest Radio Ministries and with you, my friend. And I'm delighted to talk about Pearls in Paradise. I have a number of friends, but I was in Fiji some years ago. Professor Bruce Malone, who holds 17 patents with Dow Chemical, he was the group leader in establishing those patents. He and Julie Von Vett have teamed up together to write a long number of short articles, one-page articles, that you just can't put down. So some years ago, I was in Fiji, and he was my special guest there. And then he came back the second time, and he had written a short book, each page being a special lesson on creation and showing some of the remarkable things about creation, like these outwitting those who were studying them. Each page is an incredible, incredible message that you just can't put down. It's of intriguing interest. So a small book, and he gave it as gifts. And the results were so phenomenal that when we went back a few months later, the principals would stop us in the street and say, "Our students are having such response to this book. It's called Have You Considered?" And they have the DEAR program. That is, every day when the bell rings for 15 minutes, you drop everything and read. DEAR, drop everything and read. And so what do you read? Well, they're reading this little book that he gave them. And their scores were so much higher in math and English. Seeing that response, I got with Bruce and Julie on the trip. And I said, "I'm going to take your work, because you're the author. I'm not the author. But I'm going to select 366 of the very best of your one-page description about marvelous things in creation, like certain fish and so forth." And so we did. We printed it in a hardbound, full-color volume, the very finest paper that could be bought. And I named it Pearls in Paradise. I did not write it, but I wrote the back section, and I named the book and raised the funds to have it presented. Now, throughout Fiji, through much of the Philippines, Vanuatu, another island nation, the public school systems have invited us to go in and present this as gifts to the students in those countries. And they're having the same results. When the bell rings, they read this book, and you can't put it down. So, Larry, I am pleased that at the museum, since we were the ones who funded the first publication of Pearls in Paradise, we're able to, through Southwest Radio Ministries, offer it to your listeners. Now, you're the only other agency that we have partnered with to offer Pearls in Paradise. So it's a very special. Do you have a copy in hand at the moment?
It's in my office, and I don't have it with me, but I remember there was a story in the book that really grabbed me. You know, it was about the so-called Darwin said that there are nearly 200 organs that are useless, unnecessary leftovers, and the gallbladder was considered one of those useless leftovers. And, of course, I wonder if anyone has had a gallbladder attack. One of the jobs of the gallbladder is to release bile into the small intestine as needed. And the bile is used for the breakdown and absorption of fatty food. So it's got so many stories like that. And then at the bottom it says, there's a scripture, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, Psalm 100, verse 3. So that was one of the ones that just stuck in my mind.
And that's one of 366, not 365, but 366 because of leap year. There's one for every single day. And they're not just stories that, oh, well, I've got to read a story and learn a little bit about science. They are so intriguing, you can't put them down. Let me give you one illustration. I ordained some ministers through the history over the last 40 years in Fiji. One of them was Ben Barrick, a descendant of the great King Chief Sidruth Pakambau. And Ben Barrick goes with us as we present these to the school students with the approval of the Ministry of Education. And he knows that the only way to get these books is to be a student in the schools. They're not offered for sale in Fiji. The only place we at the museum offer them, and we have partnered with you for you to offer them for Southwest Radio Ministries. But he said he walked up to a bus stop to get on a bus, and there was a waiting for the bus was a lady seated there at the bench, and she was reading one of these books, Pearls in Paradise. And Ben said, you like that book? She said, oh, it's wonderful. I can't put it down. She was a national, and she said, I can't stop reading it. Every page, there's something new. And he said, where'd you get it? She said, well, I went to see my cousin. And I walked in the house. She was gone. I walked in the house. Now, we used to be able to do that in America, but we can't anymore. She said, I walked in the house, and there was this book over on the table. So I picked it up, started reading it. It was wonderful. The stories about creation and about different animals and birds and fish. And she said, I couldn't stop reading it. So it was time for me to go. My cousin hadn't returned. So I put it in my purse, and I walked out with it. And so Ben said, well, are you going to take it back? She said, no, it's mine. I'm keeping it. So people are stealing to get this book. It is that wonderful.
It really is. It's just, you could use it for devotions, for Sunday school. The photographs are tremendous. The descriptions are tremendous. There's so much beauty. I think that's, you know, I'm thinking of, I believe it's Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, you know, to receive glory, power, and honor, for thou hast created all things. And wow, what an item of praise. What an item of worship.
You are right. Larry, when I was selecting 366 episodes out of about 1,000 that Bruce Malone and Julie Von Vett have written, one-page pithy areas talking about various points of creation. And as I selected those, when I finished it, took me weeks to select those in the book. They wrote them, but I had the privilege of making the selections from their work. And when I finished, I just bowed my head and said, Lord Jesus, thank you for making such an awesome creation. You put it all together, and you now let us enjoy every single facet, each creature, is special.
Amen. Well, Carl, I'd like you to tell our listeners a little bit about the Creation Evidence Museum in Glen Rose, Texas, about the website, maybe a phone number if people have questions, some of the things you do. I understand for 1 week only, you folks hold a dinosaur and footprint excavation that is open to the public. So tell us all about the museum and what it offers to those who attend.
And there's so many exciting things here. I have the privilege of being the founder and director of the Creation Evidence Museum in Glen Rose, and I've had over 2,500 news interviews on the items, the artifacts that we have, and the activity of the museum. For instance, we have a 25-foot scale replica of Noah's Ark that has been called and probably is the most accurate replication of Noah's Ark that's ever been built. It's 25 feet long. And you look into the side and you see all the animals, the separate rooms, Noah's family, etc. And you see the engineering technique that is absolutely awesome. And then we have various artifacts from Israel. We have dinosaur artifacts. In fact, many of your listeners probably saw the movie or the movies Jurassic World, where the hero trained a raptor, a Utah raptor, pretty good-sized raptor, to respond to him. Well, we have that raptor. We have the actual dinosaur model that was used in that film. And we have him here at the museum, and we're open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 10 to 4 Central Standard Time. But central to the work is the fact that we have human footprints that have been excavated in the rocks near Glen Rose, along with dinosaur footprints that have been excavated in these same rocks. Now, that flies in the face of evolutionary theory. Stephen Jay Gould and Richard Dawkins visited this museum. We're now a nice facility, but we started in a log cabin. They visited when we were just a log cabin. They had written in the literature, popular and technical literature, that if we or anyone could actually show that man and dinosaur lived contemporaneously, that would, in their words, blow evolution out of the waters. And it certainly does. So they came, saw the evidence. They had one word to say, impossible, and walked away. They couldn't deny it. So every year, we have a public excavation, and your listeners are invited to come. You need to check the website out each year to know exactly when it is. And the website is creationevidence.org. Once again, that's creationevidence.org. And the public excavation, where we do excavate footprints, and families are permitted to come, the excavations are the end of June or the 1st of July, whichever encompasses July 4th. Once again, that's the end of June, our first week of July, whichever encompasses July 4th. And people have been coming for 25, 28 years, and it's almost like a family reunion to come back again. So next spring, if your listeners will simply log on to creationevidence.org, or when our lines are open Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, call the museum at 254-897-3200. And that's 254-897-3200. And between the hours, Central Standard Time, of 10 and 4, they can get the details, what they need to bring. The price is very small. We want to make sure families get in on a genuine excavation experience.
It's a life-changing experience, I know, and it'll be a wonderful, wholesome activity for moms and dads. It's wonderful, wonderful. So, but one of the things that's fascinating is the hyperbaric biosphere. Tell us about that.
All right. I hold the patents. I hold three different patents on the world's first hyperbaric biosphere, having researched this for over 40 years. We have built a chamber that simulates the conditions before the worldwide flood of Noah's Day. Those conditions were such that man could live a lot longer. Animals, dinosaurs could live a lot longer. Many of the dinosaurs that we excavate, and I do excavate dinosaurs, many of those dinosaurs probably were created on the first week of creation. Reptiles continue to live, to grow as long as they live. So one of the dinosaurs I excavated was an Apatosaurus, 60 feet long. And it's possible that he was created on day number 6 of creation along with man and continued to grow as long as he lived. And when the flood came, 1,700 years after creation, when the flood came, everything that was not in the ark died. So the museum has a biosphere, a small one we've had online for a decade. We're now about to get the big one online where you can look in the side and see the experiments running. But here's the good news. We now have brought online a very fine creation scientist, and he is helping us to place 4 cameras inside the biosphere. In just a few months, it'll be turned on again. And you can simply use your cell phone once it's turned on, and you can watch the experiments, you can listen to the explanation. 24/7, you can look inside this biosphere from your own computer and your cell phone. So this is a world-class experiment, and I'm pleased that we're building it here at the Creation Evidence Museum in Glen Rose, Texas.
I know you've tried to recreate, like you said, the ideal environment on Earth, reaching maximum growth before the flood of Noah, and it's all scientific. We can now understand, you know, the way the environment was back then, before the flood, how this was possible, and you've recreated it. It's absolutely amazing. Well, Carl, we're just about out of time, but thank you so much for these 3 great programs.
Well, it's been such a blessing to be with you and be on the program, and I appreciate this ministry and have since I was a teenager.
Amen. Well, Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners about our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Everyone needs help during this pandemic. If you would like to help spread the gospel, please pray about getting our special offer today. For a minimum $55 contribution, you will receive a copy of the book Pearls in Paradise and the included DVD and a tax-deductible receipt for the entire contribution. And then 10 copies of the book will be distributed free of charge to students and teachers in the South Pacific. To give your helping hand, please call us at 1-800-652-1144. If you would like to write to us and help, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can offer your support on our website at swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Is there weeping and sadness in heaven? In Revelation chapter 5, we find there is. Why? No one is qualified to open the scroll with 7 seals. This scroll contains God's battle plans for the future. It is the divine plan to take the earth back from the devil, who is called the God of this world. However, the sadness in heaven does not last very long. There is a lamb, bearing the marks of wounds in his body, who is worthy to open the scroll. The lamb takes the scroll from the right hand of him who is seated on the throne.
When this is done, there is an outbreak of praise and worship in heaven. Revelation 5, verse 8 and following says this, "And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth."
Why is the Lamb worthy? What is the great thing that the Lamb has done? Is it because the Lamb has big muscles and is strong? No. Is the Lamb worthy because he has long pointed horns and can attack people? No. This Lamb is worthy because he allowed himself to be murdered And he shed his blood to ransom people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. It was the agape love, the sacrificial love, that Jesus showed to people from every corner of the globe. The Lamb has conquered by his death and by the shedding of his precious blood.
Pastor Larry, it's interesting to notice how the worshipers honor Jesus in Revelation chapter 5. They fall down. Jesus is worthy of our praise and devotion, so worthy that we bow before him for his love and grace. One day, Jesus cleansed 10 lepers, but only one of them turned back to praise and worship Jesus. Luke 17, verse 16 tells us, "And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." That is what worship is, falling down in complete surrender. In Matthew 4, verse 9, Satan said to Jesus, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me."
Of course, Jesus refused, and we should refuse also. We fall down only before Jesus and worship him. You know, friends, in this time of distress that people all over the world are experiencing, we need to remember to fall down before Jesus and worship. He has shed his precious blood for us. He has merited eternal life for each and every believer in him. In a day of universal distress, worship is our great privilege.
If your head seems to be ringing like a bell with all of the conflicting virus information dominating the media these days, let's add one more article that makes sense. Opinions stack high. Experts, so-called, are plentiful. And most of us have either stopped listening or are set in our own view. Posted on townhall.com August 3, 2020, Scott Moorfield presented what he called inconvenient data patterns. He said that when facing harsh restrictions on everyday life, the facts should match them. Consider noting Sweden, which did not go into lockdown and never mandated masks. Experts predicted, as he wrote, Sweden was supposed to be something like a scene out of the Book of Revelation by now, complete with rivers of blood and bodies piled up to the horses' bridles. Hospitals were going to be overrun. People were going to be dying in the streets. There was going to be carnage unlike nothing anyone had ever seen. Except none of that happened, not even close. Absent an early Cuomo-style failure of inadequately protecting nursing homes, early on that country's strategy was a tremendous success. Sweden implemented a few sustainable, common-sense measures, and now they are reaping the rewards. Last week, Bloomberg reported the country's promising COVID-19 data as new cases plunge, declining cases since a late June peak and a death rate that has plunged right along with it. The curves are going down, and the curves for the serious ill are beginning to approach zero. Closer to home, South Dakota, where Republican Governor Kristi Noem steadfastly refused to shut down her state nor require masks, the infection and death rate in that admittedly less population-dense state has remained consistently low. Georgia's Governor Brian Kemp was supposedly conducting an experiment in human sacrifice by reopening his state too soon and not mandating masks at the state level. Cases did rise, but they haven't spiked, nearly 2 months after their lockdown ended. But deaths are still below 4,000 statewide and are nowhere near any sort of drastic spike. Hospitalizations have peaked and are trending down. Compare Arizona, Florida, and Texas with 60 million people, no lockdowns, 23,000 peak hospitalizations, 500-ish peak deaths daily, to New York, 20 million people, hard lockdown, 18,000 peak hospitalizations, and 1,000 daily peak deaths. And then there's California, whose governor implemented a statewide mask mandate on June 18th. 2 weeks later, cases were three times what they were before the mandate, and they've continued to roll along around the 10,000 mark every day since. Globally, Brazil, India, and Mexico have all experienced significant spikes in case and death rates lately, despite early masking requirements on significant portions of their populations. So apparently, those who told us coronavirus would pretty much be eliminated if we would just wear a mask for a few weeks were either ignorant or lying or both. If masks work, why is the virus surging in places that implement and strictly enforce their use? Why are places that never masked doing fine? These data patterns don't suggest that COVID-19 isn't dangerous or deadly to some people, but they do suggest that viruses are pretty good at doing what they do, and there's not a lot that humans can do, especially through lockdowns or face coverings, to stop them. Like it or not, the likely only way out is going to be some form of herd immunity. Proverbs 3:7-8 say, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Oh, verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Second Chronicles 7:14 is a familiar verse to many of us. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land." Let's take it for face value as four things God requires of us that will result in three things he will do for us. We need him to hear, forgive us for our lack of faithfulness to him, and we desperately need his intervention on behalf of America. We need healing that can only come from him. Pray daily in the My People Initiative for the results of the November election to preserve America and bring God the glory due to him.
Our God is an awesome God. Please support our missionary work by giving to our special offer today. To give your gift or for more information, please call us at 1-800-652-1144. You can write to us if you like. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And be sure to check out our website and our Facebook page. Thanks for being with us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry talks with Jonathan Kahn about his new book on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.